the highest praise of God. They sing a hymn of praise, and all the people say,
live. We are back. We are back live. It is Monday, Mission on Monday, November 28th, 2016. And Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from the West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you on today. Today, man, I'm going to catch my breath in a minute. Pray for a brother. I was awesome. Let me tell y'all. My brother was running about a few minutes late, right? Yeah. So we was trying to get to, you know, I was up here ready to get the show started, you know. Why am I getting feedback and all kind of extra noise right now? Okay, there.
There you
go. All right. And I went down to get him. I said, okay, the thing said you have 1 minute till showtime. I said, well, all right, I can run downstairs and open the door, run back up here, and be up here before the music. The intro music ends. Well, when I hit that bottom step down there, I heard the thing saying, you know, that release me. Yeah, the whole thing. And I said, well, but of course I got the best producer in the world who hit that next music button.
There you
know.
Go, Taya.
But, so yeah, now we out of breath up here.
My yeah.
He ain't out of breath because he took his time. He said, I ain't
Hey, I knew I get tired walking, so me running.
He say, hey, Doc.
Man,
what base you playing softball, first base?
First.
See?
First. Listen, I seen him take off, y'all.
I know a cat, man. I played baseball with, Little League baseball with. He was a big cat, too. His name is Christopher Payne.
Uh-huh.
We played ball. We was on the Little League team back in the city back in the day. And Chris was a big guy.
Uh-huh.
But he was like almost your size when we was teenagers.
Oh, wow. Now, that was humongous.
But Chris could play some first base, though.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that full stretch-out split to get that to dig that ball out the dirt.
I can do it.
And I'll tell y'all, let me get y'all around how to get the show. I'm going to finish that because it's going to be funny for you. Real quick, if you're already listening on the line, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. Today's conversation, real quick, Mission on Monday. 5 things every small to mid-sized church struggles with. 5 things every small to mid-sized church struggles with. This is going to be good. excuse me. Again, if you're already on the show, already listening on the line, rather, just push 1 and you could be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546.
Yeah.
If you are on social media, so are we. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, Facebook Live, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio.
I'm about to choke.
Okay.
I'm going to get you some water.
No, I'm good. I'm going to get it together in a minute. Man, shouldn't be that out of shape. Jesus. Okay. Well, so anyway, again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, on Twitter, simply go to at TTLO Radio. You can tweet the show. We'd love to read that tweet on the air. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to read that email on the air. Ustream, the other streaming service. Ustream is up and running. Ustream. Simply go to ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. You'll find us right there. Simply do a search, hit the subscribe button. You'll get that live video every time we go live. You won't have to look for a link. Amen. And last but not least, iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast simply by going to the podcast section of iTunes account. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off. You'll find us right there. Hit that subscribe button, and you too will get every show. You can get all of our past shows all the way back from that first raggedy show we did 2 years ago in April. You can go all the way back to get that show as well. It's all there for your listening pleasure. My brother.
Yes, sir.
As I was trying to tell you, man, let me hear this
big
story.
Brother named Chris, right? We used to go up to Garfield Park to practice.
Okay.
And we went up there to practice, and we take our baseball, and, you know, we went to, I forget what, used to be a sports store on Madison Street where you could buy, like, real baseballs and
okay,
stuff.
Yeah,
I can't remember, something.
Right. Yeah,
can't think of the name of it. We used to go up there, so we went and put our little money together and bought us a couple of league balls,
uh-huh.
you know, because we was baseball, plus
yeah.
we played with the real, you know, real thing. So we was up there, and so we some cats came over and was like, man, can we play ball with y'all? We was like, man, we just practicing. You know, we knew they was a little shady.
Uh-huh.
You know, this now, mind you, this is like 84. No, not even 84. So we're talking like 80s, like 80, 82, 80, like 83, 82, 83.
Okay.
So I was in my seventh year. I was actually in seventh grade, somewhere
okay.
around there. And so we was on this little, we were the Personnel Liquor Clubs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Personnel Liquor was our sponsor.
Oh, wow.
So we had a big old Personnel Liquor
yeah,
on
Yeah, I remember them tapes.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, back in the day, the liquor stores,
yeah.
you can go there and they would sponsor your little league team.
Exactly.
But you had to wear that big old thing on the side.
Yeah.
Personnel Liquors. So
right.
anyway, these cats came. We told them we was just up there trying to practice, you know. So one of the shorties snatched the bat. You know, you keep your bats hanging in the
yeah.
fence. You know how,
yeah.
He snatched one of the bats and ran down the block.
Oh, my God.
So we was like, man. So we said, chase. They said, dang, don't chase that dude down that block, man. We was like, all right, cool. So we sit there. We play ball for another 20 minutes. All of a sudden, we see about 10, 11, 12, 20.
Oh, my God.
Dude started walking towards us, right? So I'm on the pitcher's mound because I'm throwing the practice
yeah.
pitches. So we sitting up there. So, dude, I said, hey, y'all, look. I said, there's some guys coming. And they got us outnumbered. So I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, we're going to jet, and we're going to make it back to – we was at Godfrey. We said, I said, if we can make it back across Hamlin,
y'all good.
We'll be all right because, see, they were the vice lord.
Right.
And we knew they weren't going to cross
right.
that cross.
Yeah, yeah.
So we getting ready to run. So Chris, he ain't no runner. So I said, Chris, man, here, you keep the last bat, right? So I'm running. I got the bat. So we break out. So I'm looking for Chris to hand him the bat. He ran past me.
More of the story.
Hey,
when big boys need to run,
hey,
we run.
Big boy was like, they doc. I said, well, let me go on kicking in then. I'm trying to worry about you.
Oh, God,
man. I'm like, this was crazy. So how was your weekend, man?
Man, it was pretty good, man. Listen, it was good. Saturday
mm-hmm.
Was a good day.
Okay.
Sunday, I had my little cousin preach for me, man.
I saw some of the video.
You know, I'm so proud of him, man. Minister Julius Shelby, man.
Mm-hmm.
25, college grad and played college ball, and just so his mannerism is just off the chain.
That's
man.
Good. That's good.
And so it was just good to be able to sit back and
mm-hmm.
relax.
Okay. Okay. That's
yeah,
good.
That
that's
was
good.
The good part.
Okay. That's
church
good.
Church received him well, and you know, it was just good, man.
Yeah. I watched like the first 5 minutes, and I had to get up, but.
Okay.
I said, okay, yeah, it's pretty good. It's
yeah.
pretty good, man. That's good.
How was it here, man?
Man, it was good. It was good. Man, we had a good day. We had a guest preacher, Reverend Isaac. Let me get the man's name right. Is it Austin Lee?
Okay.
I believe that's his name, right? Help me out, somebody. Y'all know I done told the man's name up. It's either Isaac Austin or Austin Lee. I done told the man's name up. But he came yesterday. He's from He's from Body of Christ Baptist Church. And he's one of the guys, we had a guest speaker. He's
gotcha.
Not in line for the position. He's one of the guys
right.
who's not
exactly.
interested in the position, but he was available to come and preach.
Exactly.
And when he came, he's a expository preacher.
Oh, okay.
So he's a line-by-line Bible expository preacher. So literally, he came out of the third chapter of Colossians. And he went from verse 1 to verse 17. He only read verses 1 through 3 as
right.
his reading. But then he went through verses, the whole 1 through 17. I mean, broke down every verse.
Wow.
I enjoyed it because I like good, because I'm a Bible study kind of guy.
Right,
so I
right.
like good teaching.
Right.
Now, some folk don't like teaching on Sunday.
They don't.
You know, especially our folk. And I could tell some people looking around. Now, he went a little long.
17 verses he had to.
Yeah, 45 good minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, but literally, I mean, he gave every verse its due.
Wow.
And he broke it down and gave application. It was good, man. I thoroughly enjoyed it. He's
wow.
an excellent teacher. So
wow.
big shout out again to
Y'all help me with, I done told the man's name up. Ain't nobody going to help me with the man's name. I think it's Austin Lee. I just read the message. She said, play the commercial. You win, dude. I just saw that. I done caught my breath now, but thank you. Thank you. I let me pull this out so I can see when these messages pop up here. Okay. But yeah, that was funny. But yeah, man. So he was good. He was really, really good. And I was glad to witness that, man. So that was a good time. That was a good time. And then, you know, service was fine. And it was a good time, man. It was good. Yeah,
that's
it was good.
So what was the crowd yesterday?
You know, it was about the same.
Okay.
About the same. You know, for a Sunday after the holiday, it was decent. Yeah, for a Sunday after the holiday, because, you know, a lot
good.
Of people, you know, that Sunday after Thanksgiving, they either don't come to church or they go somewhere else.
Yeah, believe me, I had a good crowd.
Especially being fourth Sunday, last Sunday of the month. So, but it was good.
I had a good crowd, too, man. I was really impressed. And thank God for the church that they responded well. As in just coming, you know, I never really preach after the holiday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sometimes we need a break, and that's my opportunity to bring somebody in. So it was good, man. It was good.
That's good.
Man,
that's good.
I hung out with your boy Spence, man.
Oh, Julian?
Yeah, man.
Oh, you went out there on Sunday?
No. Well, we're going tonight.
Right, we are going tonight. Right.
No, we just hung out last night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You went out there, or you?
He was in... south side.
Okay, yeah. cool. Yeah, man. Cool guy, man.
He loves Cheetos. chili cheese.
Are you serious?
Chili cheese.
Not the healthy. He seems like the healthy cat from
chili.
I'm from San Francisco.
Man, listen here. He said it was gourmet.
It was gourmet Cheetos.
Yeah. Chili cheese.
Chili cheese Cheetos.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan.
Yeah, chili cheese.
Wow. That's good, man. Yeah, so definitely looking forward to that tonight.
Yeah, Ivy is in town, man. He heard he did a good job yesterday.
Okay.
Man, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Once again, we will be out at, let me pull this back up again. We will be out at the Main Baptist Church at 814 East Galena Boulevard in Aurora, Illinois.
Yeah.
Again, that's the Fall Revival, Love Alive, Loving Us Back to Life in Christ. The revivalist is Pastor Elliot T. Ivy from the Church of Restoration, Pleasant New Beginnings Missionary Baptist Church, Oakland, California. The host pastor is, of course, a friend of the show, Pastor Julian E. Spencer. Doctor, I should say. I like to make sure I give people their credit when they earned one. Not bought one, like he likes to tell me. Dr. Julian E. Spencer is the pastor of Main Baptist Church. That service starts tonight. They kicked off this service yesterday with two services, a 7 a.m. worship service and a 10 a.m. worship service. And today will be the second day of their fall revival, Monday, November 28th at 7 p.m. The worship service is tonight. So if you guys are in the area, man, come on out and join your boy, Pastor Parks, and myself.
Yeah,
we will be in the house. Hope they got something to eat out there.
I'm gonna call Spence, man.
Man, look, is he watching on Ustream?
I don't know.
I hope y'all got a sandwich or something out there, man. You know, that's a long drive. A brother gonna need a rib tip or something.
Man,
I'm gonna need more than a chili Cheeto.
man.
Look here, y'all. I see y'all coming on in the room real quick. I see y'all popping in the room. On Facebook Live, let me say first, hello, Yolanda King. Who's that? Hello, Danielle Donnell. I see y'all in the house. Anybody else? I see all these viewers. Ain't nobody speaking. Y'all got to come in the room and speak. Say something to the people, man.
Yeah.
Be nice now. Come on. It's supposed to be Thanksgiving. Say something when you come in the room.
Still it's Thanksgiving.
Right. Those of you on
YouTube. I know y'all not fool off your chitlins or your potatoes.
Are you done? I mean, when we talked on Friday, you're not a big leftover fan.
I'm not.
So I killed the last of my leftovers on Saturday night.
Wow.
And literally, I ate the last. I mean, I might have had two forkfuls of chitlins, and I was done.
Wow.
So I killed the rest of them.
Now, you know what I did this weekend?
What's that?
I got my daughter a Shih Tzu.
The dog?
The dog.
Okay.
Man.
I just want to make sure he clarified. It's Shih Tzu is what he was saying.
Oh, okay. I know I've been sounding like I'm cursing.
Man, I just want to make sure that he said Shih Tzu.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, all right, then. Okay.
And I just fell in love, man.
With the dog?
Oh, my little bitty old chocolate thing.
Here we go.
Oh, boy, what is this?
Here we go. Really?
really with the dog. With man, the dog, man. I'm talking about little shit soup. What you know what it is?
Yeah, I'm need you stop saying it though, because you sound like you're saying something else.
I know.
I don't need you to let the name go.
Hey, man, I done fell in love with the little baby.
Uh-huh.
Man, everybody done fell in love with him.
Potty train, house train? I was going to say potty train.
He's only 9 weeks.
Oh, so you got to do some training.
Yeah, so and it's good.
Who house he going to be at?
Oh, he's going to be at her house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
He's going to be at her house.
I'm not an animal dude.
No?
No. Well, you know what?
I'm a fish man.
Not really a dog guy. My mom always had a cat. And the reason I like cats was because cats was cool.
Man.
And they was clean.
Three things in life I'm scared of.
You scared of cats?
Heights, scary movies, and cats.
Are you serious?
Man, listen, if you ever want to play a trick on me.
So was it because they quiet or they just don't like the way they look?
I don't like them. Man, listen, let me tell you a story about Let me tell you the story.
Okay, go ahead.
I was dating this lady, this chick.
Uh-huh.
And we was arguing.
Okay.
And she knew the three things I was scared of.
Oh, Lord.
I accidentally fell asleep.
Okay.
I woke up. She turned off all the lights. She put a scary movie on in two of the rooms with candles all around.
Oh, Lord.
And hid on the outside.
What?
Knowing that I was going to freak out. Man, when I woke up, I started screaming.
No.
No. I started screaming like Chris Tucker on Mighty Talk. Man, I was screaming so I straight sounded like, man, I went straight first soprano. Hey, look, man, you just brought back memories.
Are you really not afraid of cats?
But listen, all right, so.
Did something happen when you was a kid or what?
When I was a kid, I tried to burn a cat.
Oh, well, so okay, well, see.
Put that cat on a crate.
There go.
And this cat still didn't die.
There go. See?
You should
light
a fluid on it and lit it. And that cat came back like 2 months ago. How you like me now?
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
First of all, now we know why he out there hunting squirrels.
Hey, he going back to it.
Now he out there hunting. First you, dude. Don't, okay. First of all, if Peter is listening, I hope it's too late to press charges. We don't want to offend the Peter people or the what's them people to be playing the commercial at night. That be with the dog. All the animals are sad on the commercial. Y'all know what commercial I'm talking about, where all of the sad animals and they be playing their music into the arms or something.
Adopt a family, adopt a dog or something. Now listen here. Hey, your boy's scared of cats, y'all. I just gotta keep it 100.
Yeah, they ask.
Man, with a cat, if I'm sitting in the car and a cat
so
is
you haven't seen the cat that normally hang out in the parking lot.
Man, I see that black cat all the time.
Oh, okay, you do?
Man,
so he be under the church van, he be hanging out.
I be blowing, people thinking I'm coming to pick him up. I'm blowing so he can move out the way. Move, cat. Move out the way. Move out the way. Hey, move out the way.
Oh, God. So, man, that's great. I've always been, my mom, I didn't have a pet as a kid. My mom got a cat early on, and the cat's name was named Shasta.
Shasta.
Shasta. Shasta was the cat, and Shasta was a girl. She was a female.
Uh-huh.
And Shasta was mean.
Man, all cats mean.
She was mean. I never had a pet before, so we never understood what it meant when the cat was in heat. So we never understood the female, she like sliding all on the floor and rubbing up on any and everything. And it's like, what's going on? So we found out, so then that cat, we had to get rid of the cat when my great-grandmother came back to the city because she didn't like animals.
I don't blame her.
So we had to get rid of the cat. And then when my great-grandmother died, In 98, she went and got another cat, and she named this cat. This was a male cat, Sapporo.
Sapporo.
That named after a Japanese beer.
Are you serious?
Sapporo. And Sapporo,
man.
I'm gonna tell you. Now you talk about you to be scared of a cat. You have reason to be scared of that cat.
Did Sapporo one of them cats that just raised up?
Sapporo was about as tall as your knee right here.
Nah, that ain't no cat.
First of all, when she got him as a kitten. So she took him to the vet to to get make sure he had the shots and everything. Yeah. The vet was like, oh, he's going to be big. He's like, what you mean? He said, you see how big his paws are?
Man.
So his paws were already like this.
Man, that wasn't no cat.
I told him I said he was part
of
right, right.
High.
So the Sapporo was like, he would get, my mom has like this huge China cabinet in her house. She would put a bell on him because he liked to sneak up on you. He took the bell off.
Man, see?
And then he would climb on top of her high China cabinet. So he me and him didn't really get along because after I was going out of the house, she gave him my room.
Man.
So he was kind of hanging. So he had like, you know, they got these thing called cat condos. It's this big carpeted thing, and it's all this big, like, look like dollhouse, but it's for cats. So he jumps up in there. So that was his thing.
Oh, wow.
So he sits. So when I would come in the house to check on my mom's house, he'd be on top of the China cabinet. So I'm looking for him, and I'm like, okay, support, where you at? All of a sudden, you feel a paw on top of your head.
Oh, man. Jesus. If that ever happened to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, listen here.
Yeah.
Me and Cass don't get along. Listen, audience, your boy not feeling too well today.
Yeah, he kind of stuffy, man.
I need a hot toddy.
Uh-oh.
I need a hot toddy.
Oh, God.
I don't want Jack Daniels. Give me some Hennessy.
let me read this. Let's see here. Felicia Martin says, praise the Lord, saints. Kim Tony says, hello. She says, you tried to burn a cat. Now you scared.
Hey,
that's,
Kim.
That's karma.
Hey, Kim, you know something? We was all right. It ain't no karma. I was scared of the cat before I tried to burn it. That's why I tried to burn him.
Why would you try to burn a cat? That's, you know,
his name was Aloysius.
You know,
they named the cat Aloysius.
You know, I was watching the episode of Criminal Minds one time, and most of the people that they go to try to catch on Criminal Minds started off burning cats. They, you know, semi-serial killers. I'm just saying, I don't want no, you know.
Oh. That was a long time ago.
I'm just saying, you know,
I was just
if something ever happened, and we see you on the news, and, you know, we find out you've been, you know, it's a bunch of bodies laid out all over the place.
I started with the cat.
I'm going to let them know. Y'all know he did try to burn
a
cat.
But the cat lived. That cat came back 3 months later.
And now that cat's relatively
still had a burnt smell on him.
And see, and
but
that
lived.
Now you know, Egyptians used to treat cats as gods.
Oh, that's on them.
No, I'm saying they because they thought cats had some sort of power.
Yeah.
So and they believed in the whole reincarnation thing.
Wow.
So it's possible that you offended the ancestors of that cat you tried to burn.
And they came back.
And now they're looking for you. So when they see so when they see you, they go, that's him.
We coming for you, Parks.
Oh, God.
Meow, meow.
Oh, God. That's too funny. So anything else happened good over the weekend?
Yeah, no, man. Just, you know, it's been a chill weekend, man. Busy pretty much, man. Haven't got no rest. And I think that's why I got this little stuffiness that's going on. But, you know, my son made it back to school safe, man, and I'm happy for that. He's doing better.
That's good. Back down at Ball State, right?
Ball State. So he's doing much better, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for that. You know, that was a big – and you know, that's my boy.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
Real quick, I want to give y'all some news real quick. You guys remember the guy that shot up all the people in South Carolina at the church down there, Dylan Roof? You know, the one that they locked up and then they stopped at Burger King to get him something to eat on his way to jail, you know. White privilege.
Yeah.
Well, today a federal judge granted Dylan Roof's motion, so he's going to represent himself.
Oh, wow.
While he's on trial.
Wow.
It says Roof, who was accused of killing 9 people at a black church in Charleston, South Carolina in June of 2015, was deemed competent to stand trial last week. The jury selection has been underway when U.S. District Judge Richard Mark Gergel halted the process to allow Roof to undergo a competency evaluation. Gergel ruled that Roof was competent. I guess they were going to try to see that he was crazy, and he's going to try to get off on some sort of insanity plea. But he sealed the documents containing the reasons for his finding. Disclosing the document jeopardized Roof's right for a fair trial, the judge said. The process of selecting Roof's jury of Roof's peers resumed on Monday. So he's going to represent himself on trial. I'm sure he'll have an attorney sitting next to him, but he'll be able to object, and he'll actually be able to question the witnesses as they come. So that'd
be a sight to see.
It's going to be crazy, man. It's going to be crazy. But he and I mean, you see this mugshot of him. He is not the he is the poster boy for don't let your kids play with guns at a young age. That's so we definitely want to keep abreast of that situation. And then this morning we had a shooter. We had a shooter in Ohio at the Ohio State University.
Ohio State University.
Yeah, we had a shooter. He is now dead. The OSU suspect has been killed. but suspect killed, 10 hospitalized after a campus attack.
Wow.
It says the suspect Ohio State University ran. Breaking news update. It says 10 people are hospitalized after an attack Monday at the Ohio State University. Columbus Fire spokeswoman Rebecca Dean said 9 are in stable condition and 1 is in critical condition.
Wow.
Apparently they had to lock the university down. Somewhere around Watts Hall is where this took place. So, man, we just want to keep praying for the students there. Right now, all classes have been canceled. The all clear has been given. But 10 people total were wounded. 9 are in stable condition, and 1 is in critical condition. That's just crazy, man.
Man, even also in Harvey, man.
Yeah,
The security guard at the railroad.
Yeah, yeah.
That story sounds like it was personal.
It does. It really does.
It was personal, and then they was keeping yesterday. That was Saturday. They was Saturday night. Mm-hmm. They wasn't allowing. They was telling residents in Harvey to be aware because there was a shooter on the loose, and I know a lot of persons was afraid to come outside and all that stuff. So
right. And then last bit of news. I haven't given you guys any of these, but I figured I would get out the way. I'd like to read Michael Father Flager's post. This was 5 hours ago. He says, while we are distracted with Black Friday and Cyber Monday, this past Thanksgiving weekend was bloody in Chicago. We had 11 people killed and 64 wounded. He says that's more than the number of Thanksgiving weekends of 2015 and 2014 combined.
Wow. Wow. I got to disagree on something.
Go ahead.
I don't want no one to feel like Black Friday, Cyber Monday is a distraction because some people get a joy out of that.
Yeah.
And if you got the money, if you can do what you need to do, do
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at it as people knocking it because a lot of times some of us pastors, leaders can get to the point of saying, okay, why spend your money to bring your tithes to church and all that stuff? People will do what they want to do regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
to have all this bloodbath that's continuously taking place in the city of Chicago is a disgrace, man.
It is.
It's a disgrace. And it's hurtful to see how this city has taken a turn for the negative.
Well, Father Flager's been saying this for a while. It's the tale of two cities. Because you see the Loop area, and then you go north, and it's like a completely different city. You go to Wrigleyville,
go
west at Andersonville, those. It's a completely different city.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you go west side, south side, it's a complete mess.
It's the jungle.
So it literally is the tale of two of two cities. And now watch this. Here is the after effect of what's happening. Because the crime has been allowed to take place in the predominantly African American and Latino neighborhoods, they are pulling cops away from their normal beats in these other neighborhoods. Now you have seen a rise in break-ins in the quote unquote nice areas. Because now the police are being pulled away from normal patrols.
Yeah.
So now when you get a burglary, now they don't even come out to the house anymore. You do a report over the phone.
Yeah.
They don't even send the police to your house anymore unless it's an active burglary.
So
but if you come home, no, you dial 911. They just transfer you to the accident unit or the burglary unit, and then someone takes your information over the phone.
Wow.
So they're not even because they're so overwhelmed with all of the violence in the city, they're not even able to do regular police work.
Wow.
And I had no idea about that. I was like, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Oh, Johnny P. finally died, man.
Man, now who is Johnny P? I don't remember. Help me out.
He went to Austin.
Okay.
He came out in 89, but he was the one on Do or Die.
Really?
Yeah, he was on Do or Die.
He's on the Do or Die CD?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have to see
his singer on there. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he got on drugs and things. Chicago, got on drugs, man, and his life just took a twist. So they were saying, I believe last week, a week before, that he died then. But I believe it finally happened yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's him right there, the first one. Yep.
I don't know if I remember, dude. Oh, okay. So he was the one who was saying, do you want to ride in the backseat of my daddy?
You or die.
I'm supposed to know that. I'm sorry, y'all. Hey, that's what I. That's
you
what
or die.
Speaking of, did you catch any of the Soul Train Awards?
No.
Man, it was like 90s hot.
really.
Dude, Teddy Riley came on there, man, and took Teddy. Everybody all the way back.
I did see that. Yeah, I did see that.
Man,
yeah,
Teddy came on, and it's amazing how many hits this dude was responsible for.
I told, man, Bobby Brown looked like a candy cane.
We're going to keep Bobby in prayer, y'all. Bobby, we're going to keep Bobby Brown in prayer.
That man had on a leather candy cane.
What in the world? Well, wasn't them your colors, though?
Yeah, but it didn't look right on him.
Well, he had it.
No, it just didn't look
he
right.
He had that midsection working.
Man, it didn't look right on him.
But then he got
5 teeth. 2 in his pocket, 3 in his mouth, man. That man was bald.
I'm done.
That man was gone.
I'm done.
That man don't have no teeth to save his life, man. That man talk his tongue, duck.
You know what?
Get out the way.
I'm done.
Boom. Get out the way.
I'm done. Oh, my God. Yeah, man. It was good to see, man. I was like, wow. And then they brought Guy out on the stage.
But Teddy messed up, man.
Oh, what's that?
The man started talking about how many kids and baby. The man went deep, man. The man went and said he got a lot of kids and baby mamas and all. Man, people, there are some things don't need to be on national TV.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned it, let me just pull. Here is the somebody got an article up already about how many kids does Teddy Riley have based off of last night. Comments.
That's crazy.
I'm showing here on the thing. It says Teddy Riley's oldest child is his adopted son. Dante is 26. Dejane is 22. Nia is. They're not showing me how old Nia is. That's 3. Taja makes 4. Tiara makes 5. TJ makes 6. Lil Telly makes 7. Samar makes 8.
Bobby Brown, baby.
He got 8 kids.
But they were saying about so many different babies.
I didn't go in all. I wasn't gonna tell it. I wasn't gonna talk about his business. But yeah, he said it too.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. But this dude, I mean, he was literally responsible. He touched like every hit,
man,
that came out in the 90s.
Man.
If you were, and I know it's a Christian radio show, but y'all can calm down. If you were out in anybody's club from around 1980, because we came across Teddy senior year of high school when Guy came out, because he helped produce part of Make It Last Forever.
He did.
With Keith Sweat.
Yep.
And Make It Last Forever was the prom theme.
Yeah.
At and he hit all of them hits, and then nobody can forget Just Got Paid.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Money in my pocket.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember watching what was the thing they do on VH1? Is it VH1 or what is it? Where Are They Now?
I don't know if that VH1.
It's not Where Are They Now, but it's the other one where they do the path. They show you the path of the artist. But I remember seeing him do a conversation with him and Johnny about that song he wrote for Johnny Kemp. And he was like, he never got paid.
Wow.
It was a handshake deal. He really did it. He's like, hey, man, look, let me help you out with this. He never got a dime for that song.
Wow.
And that song bumps in clubs today.
Yeah.
I ain't been to a nightclub in a long time, but I believe that I got some friends that are DJs.
Wow.
And they still bump that on a good night.
Man, I want to learn how to DJ, man.
It don't take much these days, man.
I'm going to tell you why.
You don't need no skill set. You really don't.
Real talk, last night, a DJ saved my life.
You know what? I can't talk to this dude.
I can't. Last night, man, y'all know how it is when you feel broken heart, and you know, I thank God for YouTube, because I can stop playing YouTube songs, and you know, it just feels so broken heart.
You know what? I'm done. Anyway, y'all, look, we're gonna take a quick break because this. Oh man, yeah, I forgot. I should have downloaded the song. You should have told me. And I saw that, you know, on the day, and I forgot all about it. Colonel Abrams died, man.
Oh yeah,
not gonna let, not let you get the best of me. About Colonel Abrams.
Yeah, he did.
Man, big shoulder pads, suit wearing.
Yeah.
Unsung. Thank you, Felicia.
Thank you, Felicia.
Unsung. That's the show. But, man, I forgot old Colonel Abrams died. How many hits did Colonel Abrams have? Did he have any other hits other than Did he have any other hits? Trapped. I'm trapped. Like a fool, I played the game. I can't get out. See, I'm trapped.
Observation.
Man. Oh.
I got boy here moving. I'm looking at the camera. I see nothing but stomach. I'm moving. Boy, I'm like, man,
oh, God.
Your whole body feel like it's moving, but it's only certain parts. I'm segmented. It's moving in sections.
Oh, my God. I just forgot about that, man. Oh, Colonel Abrams had
House, man.
Let me. What songs did this dude have? Man, I need to see what was his hits. Because this dude had, I only know one or two.
House here.
Man, let's see. Colonel Abrams. Let's see. It was a trap. I'm not going to let. I don't know none of these other ones. How soon we forget. See, I don't know none of these other songs. Yeah, I'm good.
Maybe if you play it, you might know it. You know, because I'm not good with the titles.
With the title.
So sometimes I need to play it.
I'm about to run that by the producer, see if it's okay for us to play some Colonel Abrams. We're going to take a break, y'all. We're going to figure it out.
Please, producer. I might do it there. The bird. Have you heard? Brand new day. Call the bird.
Now that's Morris Day now. Come on. Time. All right. We're going to take a break, y'all. When we come back, maybe I didn't find us some Colonel Abrams we can download or something. I'm going to get in trouble for this. I already know. But we're going to be
on. Come on. We won't Colonel. We won't Colonel.
Oh, God. That's too funny.
Come on,
man.
You house heads.
Oh, my goodness.
We want Colonel.
Oh, God. All right. We're going to take a real quick break, man. We won't be back that long at all. We will not be back. We won't take that long at all. We'll be right back. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO. Big now.
But he ain't bigger than he was. That's right. Big Luther, little Luther.
Ain't nothing like old school Fred.
Yes,
man. I said, man, that old school Fred. Look, y'all, so while we took a little break, I'm gonna see. I'm gonna probably get in trouble, y'all. If y'all overly Christian and a little too hype, y'all gonna let me 67. She said Colonel Abrams was 60. Colonel 67.
Yeah.
Was he that old?
Yeah, he was that old.
So he was old already.
Yeah, he was old already.
When he got hot.
Yeah, he was old.
Man, let me go, man. 67. Let's see here. Let me see here. Let me see what happens when we hit the play button. We'll be right back, y'all. Go get y'all a little bit of CTLO.
I had a moment. I'm a house head, y'all. Let me go back.
Right. We're about to sing a hymn after that.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
y'all.
God. Y'all, did y'all see that? Because I had to move because he needed a little room. He needed a little room.
Hey.
Just a little room. Then who just carried his back?
Yeah,
did he carry his back?
I did.
No, he did. I missed it.
Oh.
I'm about to go back and watch the video.
Yeah. Oh, y'all got me grooving.
Gotta get your groove on.
Yeah. Jack my body.
Hey, I'm feeling it, y'all. Look, now we ain't finna look. I think our Ustream viewers, some of the Ustream viewers left ahead to come back or something. They might have got offended. We'll be all right, y'all.
No, they didn't go. they left after the break.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, y'all come on back. You know, it'll be
come
all right.
Come on in the room.
Oh, my God. So you was cabbage patching, Doc? Was you?
Man, I was getting it in. Yeah, I did a 30-second workout. I did that mixed 30-second workout.
Oh, God.
You know how the preacher said, touch your neighbor. Come on. Give your last 30-second praise. I just did my 30-second dance.
Oh, God.
And
oh,
I wasn't out of breath.
No, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Break it.
Hey, the Apostle Joshua Bernard Austin. What's up, sir? What's going on with you, man? I ain't talked to you in a minute, man. How you been? Good to see you. He said, we're having a good time.
Cabbage Patch in the studio.
She said, what's next, kid, and play?
Play the music and you'll see.
You know what? No, we will not.
We will not.
We might
do that first base split.
You know?
No.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Once again, y'all, I mean, make sure I put the emphasis on this. This is Pastor Cornelius of the First Bethel.
Yes, sir. First Bethel, baby. I'm a house head. Man, sometimes I catch the Holy Ghost off house music.
You know what?
You remember that house on Holy Ghost?
Holy Ghost. Did you just go there?
I did. Hey.
I do remember that, though.
Yeah.
I do remember that. See, I'm going to take you all the way back. See, I remember old school Farley. Farley had a song that said, my name is Bessie Smith.
You don't remember that.
You ain't ready. Don't get me started on no house music now. Look.
Hey, it's going to go down in a minute.
We got to save that for a praise break Friday because
man, he got me started.
Hey, we can let it roll, Jack. Look,
I got to stretch before I dance, but
I feel a hurt inside. As I reach out to you, said I'm so confused. Oh, I'm trapped like a fool out in a cage. I can't get out. See, I'm trapped. Can't you see I'm so confused? I can't get out. See, I'm trapped like a fool out in a cage. I can't get out. See, I'm trapped. Can't you see I'm so confused? I can't get out. I can't get out.
reigns.
Our God reigns.
Lord, you reign above every name.
Sing my God reigns. Sing our God reigns, y'all. Sing, Lord, you reign
above every name.
Come on, say with power and majesty.
Power and majesty. Dominion, authority. You reign.
Sing it again with power.
With power and majesty. Dominion, authority. You reign.
Come on, let's score right here. Oh, sing my God reigns. Sing our God reigns.
Tell him, Lord, you reign. Oh, every name.
Yeah, my God reigns. Sing our God reigns. Lord, you reign.
Oh, every name.
Here we go, with power and majesty.
Power and majesty.
Oh,
and
Lord, you reign.
Fight.
I need to hear you
before that was God, that was footwork.
Oh, God. We are back, y'all. We apologize to those of you who listen on the Blog Talk side. We had a little technical difficulty. I guess, you know, our house music got shut down.
The devil got mad.
Right.
That was
look,
devil.
In the words of Reverend Hewlett from that's on the roster of the kingdom, ain't nobody mad but the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was funny. That was funny. Anyway, y'all, look, we got this really good article, man. This is good stuff, right? Five things every small to mid-sized church should struggle. I'm sorry, not struggle.
This.
Let me read it again. Five things every small to mid-sized church struggles with.
Yeah.
That's going to be good. So we're going to take a real quick
don't go nowhere, you streamers.
Don't go nowhere, y'all. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546 or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. Man, look, we got this really good article. I'm actually excited about it. This is going to be good. It's simply entitled, once again, Five Things Every Small to Mid-Sized Church Struggles With. Five Things Every Small to Mid-Sized Church Struggles With. I started reading this thing, man. I actually found it last week.
Uh-huh.
And we had already sat down. We said, man, this is going to be good. So I'm like, this is going to be good. So we went over it last night, man. And this is going to be good stuff, man. I'm excited about this one because I think one of the things that we don't recognize is that there are a lot of struggles that churches face that we don't recognize. And part of that comes with the whole finances and stuff like
sure,
that. All those, I'm sure you understand that better than most.
Yeah.
And not just because you have a small church, but your church has been around for a while, but you've only been pastoring for
2 years.
So you know you came
is that
in.
A cat?
No, man, I think it was a cow or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay, I got a little nervous.
I know you did. It's gonna be all right. We're gonna pray. but man, it's one of those things where I think it's so much. The article is really, really rich, man, and I think it's going to help some people out, and hopefully you all will get something out of it. Once again, it's entitled Five Things Every Small to Mid-Sized Church Struggles With. I'm going to drop this article in here real quick for those of you on Facebook Live. I'm going to drop this in here for y'all real quick. Come on, get in there. Yep, right there. Drop that for y'all, and then on Ustream, I'm going to drop it for y'all too somewhere as soon as I find my Ustream link over here. Had it, lost it. Nope, that ain't it. Come on back. Thank you. Yes, sir. All right. I'm going to drop this over here for y'all real quick on the stream. Yes, sir. All right. Yeah, so let's go. This should be good stuff. Five things every small to mid-sized church struggles with. Again, you want to feedback, you want to ask some questions, simply email the show. I'm sorry, or email the show, takinglimitsoff@comcast.net, or you can comment live on any of the streams that we have running right now. You can comment live on any of the streams, and we would love to read your comment and get your comment so we can go forward. Let's go. He says this. He says, of all the subjects I deal with on this blog, church size generates a lot of reaction and emotion. That's real good. Church size generates a lot of reaction and emotion. He says, this post on why churches never break 200 attendance mark struck a deep nerve. Yeah, that was good. We actually did that article. Me and Devon did that one a year or two ago. He says, as I outlined in his new book, people clearly have strong opinions and emotions about the size of churches that can and should be overcome. He says, but I can totally relate to the dynamics of leading a smaller church. The writer says, when I began in ministry, I spent about 3 years leading a small congregation under 100 that grew into a mid-sized church under 500 and then grew into a larger church.
Wow.
He says, I remember the emotions that swirl around small and mid-sized churches. I also have lived through the struggles that congregations face. He says, this post, like the last one, is written for church leaders that church leaders and teams that want to reach more people. If you don't want to grow, this post won't help you much.
Wow.
Wow. He says, it's critical that as church leaders, we understand the tensions we're facing in the same way that diagnosing that pain under your kneecap when you're trying to run a race is helpful.
Wow.
Diagnosing what you sense in the congregation can be critical to taking your next step forward. This is good. He says, overcome these tensions and you're closer to progress. Avoid them or fail to deal with them and you can stay stuck a long time.
Wow.
So here we are. Here are five problems every small to mid-sized church encounters.
So
go ahead, Doc. Number one.
Number one, the desire to keep the church one big family.
Will you clap your hands right here? Come on.
The church functions best as one big family. And we believe that the church functions best as one big family. The reality is, even when our church was 40 people, those 40 people didn't know each other, really. Some were left out, others weren't. Even at 100 or 300, enough people will still believe they know everyone, but they don't.
Wow. Wow. That's good stuff. I'm trying to check something real quick to make sure we're not having an issue on the radio side. Give me 1 second, y'all. I'm trying to figure this out. Are we okay? No, it's not still out. Okay, I'm not sure what happened. She said we went out for a minute, but we're back. We're back. Just want to keep this going. Please do me one favor. Read number one more time. Go ahead.
Okay, let me go back to it.
Yeah, number one. Got
number
it.
Number one, the desire to keep the church one big family.
Yes.
This pressure is huge. Many people believe that the church functions best as one big family. The reality is, even when our church were 40 people, those 40 people didn't know each other. Really, some were left out. Others weren't. Even at 100 or 300, enough people will still believe they know everyone, but they don't.
Wow. That's good. That's good. He said the desire to keep the church one big family. I think that's part of that in itself could be part of the problem.
Oh, most definitely. Want to keep it one big family.
We want to keep that family atmosphere when I really don't believe that was God's intention.
Now,
for the church.
What God's intent was to make family out of believers.
Yes.
However, the families still have a desire, a goal to go reach the lost.
They should.
And so what happens, we want us to be so close-knit, which it can be a catch 2020 with it, because I believe you should be able to be close to those who are on the front line of the battle with you. But truth of the matter, there's so much secretive stuff that goes on in individual lives that they don't want everyone to know about what takes place in their household. So that brings exclusive.
Right, right.
And so now, because of what the things that we do in our personal life, we have skeletons in the closet. We do things that is not Christ-like, and we don't want everyone to know that about us.
Wow.
And so those elements is really keeping people from being really close-knit in the church, because truth of the matter, when you read the scripture, it's the church folks that really
cause the problem.
Cause the problem.
Yeah, and outsiders coming in never feel like a part of the church.
They never feel like part of the church.
So again, I like the part where he says the reality is, even when our church was 40 people, those 40 people didn't know each other.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question: you think all the people in your church,
they know each other's name?
They know each other's name. Wow.
Maybe, but they don't know each other. And that's something I've been teaching on fellowship.
Okay, okay.
And I believe, here it is, us pastors, we want to get several teams of ministries.
Yeah.
The reason why it doesn't work,
because we got a bunch of people that don't know each other.
True.
And not even trying to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I don't know your likes and dislikes,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of hard for me to work with you.
Yeah.
Let's just say this. Here, me coming on the radio show.
Right.
We don't rehearse.
Right. No, we don't do none of that.
we just come and
right.
our spirits connect.
Right.
Because we are Christ-like minded.
Right.
Everyone that comes together
right.
is not Christ-like minded.
That's true.
And some have the, this, I remember, and not to blow, put our business out, but
right.
I remember some of the interview questions. Seriously, like my
right.
personal agenda.
Right, 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 right.
And so because my answers,
right,
you know, it kind of helped me to be on the show.
Well, you know, it but we took the time to, you know, like when we had you on the show before,
right,
you know, just as a guest, it was
right.
cool, you know,
right.
like,
exactly.
hey, you had no problem, had no
exactly.
issues, nothing like that. So, you know, the whole thing was, you know, you have to take the time to try to get to know some people.
There you go.
And you do that with conversations outside of the work area.
That's my point.
You know, so, you know, you and Tanya talked outside
yeah.
of the work area,
yeah.
you know, so, you know, y'all built a rapport.
That's my point.
That made her comfortable enough to come back to me and say, okay, let's see how this work out.
And that's my point.
Exactly.
How many in the church
do that? We don't. We don't.
We dive right in.
Yeah. And never taking the time. We just assume because you go here, I go here.
Exactly.
It should work out.
And you know, I'm giving another perfect example.
Go ahead.
Talk about relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because you was in love with somebody else
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean you know how to love another person.
Wow.
Because everyone had different love languages.
Okay. Okay.
And everyone had different things that they like and dislike. And so the things that the one I was with loved,
mm-hmm.
it might not be for someone who I'm going to be with. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So now I have to get familiar with that person's love language.
Okay.
And so in the church, we feel that it don't take all that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. I don't have to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to go around and what we call in the corporate world is icebreakers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have to go do an icebreaker. And so even in my service, I do a thing called fellowship hour.
Okay.
That means everyone get up out the seat and go love on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I while I'm doing it, if I see someone not doing it, I will say their name over the pulpit
uh-huh.
because this is one of the most authenticity aspects of our service.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people come in there, they're wounded, they're hurt, they're broken.
Yeah.
And because of your hug, and it don't always have to come from the pastor.
That's true.
It could
That's
come
true.
From the members.
That's true.
And then not only that, it gives the members an idea to say, okay, can we work together on a certain agenda?
Yeah. I think it's so important that we do connect outside of the church.
Yeah.
Because because here's the deal. If I don't take the time to get to know your name, and like you said, the little simple things, your likes, dislikes, and vice versa, then how are we ever going to grow as a people? Because if that's the case, then it's no different than it's no different than people who you go to the gym with. Like when I go to the gym, I see the same guys all the time. I don't know them.
Right.
They're just people I know at the gym.
Right.
And I haven't taken the time to build a rapport with them.
Right.
It's like, hey, you know, we see each other. We give, you know,
right.
we get a nod
yeah.
and you
yeah.
keep going.
Yeah.
But that's about it. At church, it shouldn't be, I see you and I give you the nod and keep going.
I might get in trouble for saying this.
Come on.
But that's what separates men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Men is more outgoing. Like when we go into social atmospheres, we give each other dap.
Right, 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 right.
We talk to each other.
Right.
Women don't do that.
Mm.
It's competitive with them.
It's hard to see them hug each other.
You know,
when you tell them you'll hug somebody, I need to read this email because this is for you. She says, those of us on the tube, we didn't leave because they were offended. They left because they probably fell out the chair laughing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Okay. That was good. That was good. I had to read that. I figured you did. But yeah, but you do need that to create because it does break down. It is an icebreaker.
Yeah.
But see again, this is where that small group fellowships.
Yeah.
This is where they were supposed to be the icebreaker.
Yeah.
Like for us, we're getting ready for. We have groups here at the church.
Uh-huh.
Not exactly in the they're not built in the realm of what small groups were actually supposed to be. They're more just fellowship groups.
Sure.
So we're getting ready for our all group Christmas social.
Okay.
That's where all, because normally groups have their own little social events or whatever, okay. but this is one where all the groups, you know, put their best dishes out,
gotcha.
And we set up downstairs, and we have food on every, we got like food stations, like
gotcha.
Group one, group two, group three, group four,
gotcha.
And the youth group, the church or whatever, they all have their stations out, and it's a time to fellowship.
Gotcha.
Well, it's a great thought.
Uh-huh.
If we actually fellowship.
Wow.
But if I'm in group one, and I only go to the group one table,
wow.
and I don't go to check out, you know.
Wow.
So it's a time where, in actuality, you should, it should be a little bit more mixed in. You should be able to mingle with people. Here, let me say this. I'll say this, and I'm going to move on. I've always said that the one way, it's not to, you can't force fellowship.
Yeah.
But what you can do is break up cliques.
You can. You really can.
You can break up cliques.
You really can.
And I've said this. I'll give this idea out there. And I know it probably won't go over well. I believe, especially when you have fellowship groups and they seem to be all inwardly focused,
uh-huh.
I think you need to take those fellowship groups at the end of the year and break them all up.
Yeah.
And then at the beginning of the year, you put numbers in a basket, and everybody just draws a number.
There you go.
And whatever number you get, that's the group you're in.
Now
what happens is you're creating a new group where now you're forced to work with people that you otherwise would not have worked with.
Yeah, especially one you don't like.
And maybe the ones you don't like, it may not be necessary that you don't like them.
You don't know them.
Because you don't know them. And you haven't taken the time. You haven't had a 30-second conversation with them to like or dislike them.
I agree.
So I think this helps in building unity in the church because it takes us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
It takes us out of our comfort zone.
I agree.
Let's keep going, man. Get number two.
Number two, the people who hold positions don't always hold the power.
Ooh,
wow.
Ooh.
Let me say this again. The Ooh. People who hold positions don't always hold the power.
Yeah.
That subject matter
that
alone speaks so much volume.
Uh-huh.
Let me read on. In many small churches, your board may be your board, but often they are people and even families whose opinions carries tremendous weight. If one of those people sits on the board, they end up with the final veto
mm-hmm.
because no one wants to make a move without their buying in.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If they are not on the board, decisions the board makes or a leader makes can get undone
mm-hmm.
if the person or family disapproves.
Wow.
This misuse of power is unhealthy and needs to be stopped.
My, my, my.
In the church where I began, I took the power away from these people by going head to head with them,
mm-hmm.
then handed it back to the people who are supposed to have the power.
Mm-hmm.
In two of the three cases, the person left the church after it was clear I would not allow them to run anymore.
Mm.
It's a tough call, but the church was far better off for it.
Mm-hmm.
When people who are gifted to lead get to lead, the church becomes healthy. And when we got healthy, we grew.
Wow. Wow.
Listen, man. This right here,
this
people,
we could go home.
I call these pastor pew pastors.
Pew pastors, yeah.
We got so many pew pastors
mm-hmm.
that have carried so much weight
mm-hmm.
that can hurt and damage the ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they go off their opinion.
Yeah.
And not what the word of God says.
Yeah.
And so what happens when a person who's gifted to do something,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to try to fight to be in position.
Mm.
They'll rather sit back and see it fail.
Yeah.
Then for them to put their hands on it,
oh, absolutely,
and be part of some type of mad.
Oh, absolutely. They'll sit back and they'll sabotage it from behind. They'll talk bad about it. They'll never publicly object to it,
wow.
but they will talk bad about the idea to everybody who will listen. And
wow.
then they'll whisper in the ears of those who make decisions.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we need to be really, really careful. I am in total agreement. I like what he says. He says in two or three cases, the people left the church.
You can't be afraid.
He didn't put them out.
They left.
And this is why I used the term before. Coach them up or coach them out.
Yeah.
Because if you create an environment where they recognize that their foolishness was no longer allowed,
uh-huh.
they will either succumb to the authority that you have or they will leave.
It will draw or drive.
That's right.
So what happens,
We can't be afraid to allow people to leave.
Yes.
What happens is we get afraid to when people want to leave because we need them ties.
Yeah.
We need that money. Mm-hmm. We need all of this other stuff to make the church last.
Yeah.
But God already have a whole bunch of remnant of people ready for a chance.
I think it's so you said you cannot be afraid as a leader to make changes.
You can't.
And then I think the fear sometimes comes in too. Like you said, you don't want to offend people.
Right.
You're scared to offend your tithers.
Right.
But then too, you're afraid because you don't have a clear path.
Yeah.
You don't have a plan.
Yeah.
And when you don't have a plan, you tend to put up with a lot of mess.
A lot of mess.
When you don't have a plan in place, you tend to put up with a lot of garbage and drama that you otherwise would not have any part of.
I agree.
Pastor Keith Gordon, man, good to see you, man. He says, good seeing you, brothers. Keep up the good work. I hope Pastor Devon is doing well. Doing real good, man. He's doing fine, doing fine. Just, you know, he got that schedule, man. That's what happens, you know. Full-time job come first. Let me see. Yolanda King says, there's so many cliques in the church, and people don't try to make new members feel welcome. Absolutely.
Those that been here won't let those come here. Stay here.
Uh-huh. And then you find surface kindness or politeness. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you have to be willing, though, to open the door to allow people to come in. Because a lot of times, misunderstandings between people are not necessarily between people. They're caused by someone else. Because you heard this about somebody or you believe this thing that you saw about somebody. And that causes you not to even have a conversation or any communication with the other person. So we need to get away from that. Camera doing his own thing, huh?
Yeah. this camera is doing his own thing.
Hey.
We're not doing none of this.
Hey, that's good. Go ahead, get the next one.
Now, hold on. I want to say something.
Go ahead.
One way to identify a problem member.
Yeah.
A problem member is one that don't want anyone to sit next to him.
Okay.
They will purposely bring three bags to church
and sit them all
on that one pew to keep people from sitting next to them.
Wow.
Y'all know I ain't lying.
Wow.
Y'all know some people just like that.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Number three. The pastor carries expectations no human can. Oh my God.
Wow.
The pastor carries expectations no human can fulfill.
That's good.
In most small to mid-sized churches, the pastor is expected to attend, if not conduct, every wedding, funeral, hospital call, or meeting, visit people in their homes, write a killer message every Sunday, organize most of the activities of the church, be present for all functions, and have a great family life. In other words, the pastor carries expectation no human can fulfill.
Mm.
The key here for those who want to grow past this is to set clear expectations of what you will spend your time on.
Mm.
I visit people in their homes and in the hospital for the first 2 years, but then we went to a group model.
Mm.
I explained for what seemed like forever how care was shifting from me
to the congregation. Yep.
I stopped attending every church event. Wow.
Yep.
We developed a great counseling referral network. And as I started focusing on what I can do, what I can best contribute, given my gift set, communication, charting a course for the future, developing our best leaders, casting vision, and raising resources.
Yeah.
Many church pastors are actually more burnt out than large church pastors.
Wow.
Many small church pastors are actually more burnt out than large church pastors. Small church pastors, please realize this. If the key to growing your church is to work more hours, you're sunk. Work better and smarter with clear boundaries and expectations. Don't just work longer.
Wow.
Once you master that, you can thrive even as your church grows. If you want more on burnout and recovery, this post has some helpful insights on burnout, what to do to get over it.
Hey, man, that's good.
I think this is so real, but I believe our members send us off because our members don't understand that we're human.
Okay.
They feel that we need to be at every
thing because we're the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be at choir rehearsals. We got to be at Bible study. We got to be at every church outing. Even when the choir just go and sing it, we got to be at every funeral, every wedding. We just are everywhere. Mm-hmm. But then the most important aspect of our life, which is family,
yeah,
is sinking.
Yeah. I think, and it probably happens, you probably know this better than most, young pastors probably feel like they need to be everywhere.
It, most definitely.
You feel like you need to see everything.
Most definitely.
Like you need to, you know, you need to watch and all this.
Most definitely.
If I take it from a secular standpoint, I used to want to be, when I was in the corporate world, I used to want to be a part of every meeting.
Yeah.
Even though I had managers that reported to me and
yeah,
supervisors that reported to them, I wanted to take part in all the meetings. What time is your meeting? I'll be there. What time is your meeting? Okay, I'm gonna move some around. I'll be there.
Wow.
And what I found out was, I don't need to be at those meetings. And the other thing I found out was the candid conversations that needed to be had weren't being had if I was in the room.
Right.
So if people didn't feel a way about everything, so you don't have to be, yeah, should a pastor be at his Bible study? Yes. But if a pastor has competent people who are set to teach,
wow,
then no, he doesn't have to be at every Bible study. But when you set that precedent of attending everything, like he said, it's going to be hard to pull back because then people are going to say you seem disinterested. But just like he said about the visiting people, visiting the sick, he says he went to visit all of his sick people.
Uh-huh.
But as your church grows, that's
impossible.
If you have a church of 125 active people,
uh-huh,
and you have a sick list of 10, okay, that's a little bit less than 10%. Okay, but then if your church grows to 300 active people, now you possibly have 30 people on the active sick list.
Yeah,
you're not capable of visiting all those people.
That's right.
Which now means your ministry staff, your church is going to have to function as a group of people who visit the sick.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to create a group of people that visit the sick, and maybe the pastor goes and visits those who are more ill than others.
Yeah.
You know, some could be going to the hospital for a routine surgery.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no need for the pastor to go
exactly
to, for your routine surgery.
Exactly.
When we can have people who are available to go.
Exactly.
But if you're having some life and death stuff, you're getting a kidney transplant, an open heart surgery, and stuff like that, if the pastor is capable of being there,
most
he
definitely
should be there.
You know, all right, let's take it to a football world.
Come on.
You got a head coach.
You don't go to every meeting.
And what after the head coach, what you have?
You got your coordinators.
You got your coordinators.
Offense, defense.
You got assistant coach, then you
yep
got your coordinators.
Yep.
And then you have coaches for each position.
Pretty much.
But
yep
then after that, what else you have? Captains.
You have team captains at that point.
Team captains
yep
is what goes on in
yep
the locker room.
Defensive captain.
Yep.
Offensive captain.
And yep. That, team captains is most known in the locker room.
They really control what happens in the locker room.
They control
yep
what happens. And the coach is not there.
Nope. They fix the problem before it gets to the coach.
And so when the coach got to deliver a message to
yep
them,
yep,
he normally go to the captains first.
Yeah.
And the captains translate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Captains are leaders.
That's true.
And they get the responsibilities from the head coach.
Yeah.
Pastors are the head coach.
Yeah, should be. Yeah,
and he have associates, ministers, and deacons.
Nope, those
as men his staff.
Yep, that's his captains. Yeah,
them his staff.
That's the staff. I get you.
And
I
then you got other leaders.
Uh huh.
It's just the captains.
Should be
ministry leaders.
Right. Should be
who gets the responsibility.
Uh-huh.
From the head coach,
they're taking their direction.
Right. Taking that direction.
Right. They get their
they follow leadership.
They follow the playbook that he set.
That's right.
Right.
And so, even though every play don't work out,
mm-hmm,
the captains deliver the message.
That's right.
From where the head coach.
Right. But see, but that head coach, one, has to clearly define what his vision is.
That's where I was going.
Yeah. And because see, if you,
that's where I was going.
Because if you're not making it clear,
that's where I was going,
to your leaders, that so that they can then take that same message.
Yeah.
To their different parts of the organization, then you're going to have a problem. So it's a necessity that you keep that going and that it's very, very clear.
You know,
Pastor Keith Gordon saying, Pastor Parks, you're speaking the truth.
Bless
man
you, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the problem in the church,
mm-hmm,
we have so many unlearned people leading our people.
Wow. That's done. That's it right there.
And because we got so many unlearned people leading others.
That's good.
They don't know how to talk to you. They don't even know how to deliver
a message properly. They can't even don't even know the proper way of running a meeting.
Exactly.
And watch this. The only way they've learned to run a meeting is by what they've seen.
What they've seen.
And if you don't run meetings correctly,
now they're modeling what they see.
They're modeling because I've been a part of. Oh God, I know I'm gonna get in trouble. I've been a part of some church business meetings that are absolute jokes.
Sure.
And I said to myself, where did you all learn how to do a meeting?
Yeah,
because I, once again, in the corporate world, I worked for two major companies in my life: Bank One, which is now Chase, and Comcast, with Comcast Cable, which was a bunch of other names before that. But when we had meetings, our quarterly and annual sessions, there was no bickering.
Wow.
There was no back and forth. There was no all of this. Why y'all doing this?
And why y'all? No.
This was the VP stood up or the CEO stood up and says, look, this is direction. This is the direction that we're going. That's just me popping the comments in there. The CEO would say, this is the direction that we're going in, and this is our goal for the next year, and we need to get you guys to get on board. And then when we would break off, management would break off into sessions, and then that's when we would get direct information from our VP.
Go back up, because you said something so key.
Come on.
When he released the vision.
That's it.
He said, this is where we going.
This is where we going.
Is you either going to get on board
right,
or not.
Yeah.
The problem with us in the church,
we don't make
we
that.
We are cowards.
That's God
given us vision.
And authority.
And authority.
And we won't, yep.
But what happened, because them don't agree.
Uh-huh.
We're sitting back, not doing what God called us to do.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, Doc.
We don't want to offend nobody. We don't want to step out of the wheel. We don't want folks to leave. Man, listen, if folks leaving because you're doing the Lord's work, let them leave.
Yeah, yeah.
God will replace anybody.
Yeah.
God don't need us.
Yeah.
We're too... Now... We're cowards, leaders, but then we got too many laymen are cocky.
Because they become leaders by default.
Default.
Because they've been in the church 20 years.
So they are what five levels of leadership? They're called positional leaders.
You didn't
do nothing for the ministry.
Nope, you just been there.
You just been there.
Yep.
And that position needs to be filled.
Yeah.
And people don't even honor you. They don't even like you.
Nope.
They just part of that ministry because they want most people in the choir because they just want to sing. They don't like the choir director. They don't like none of it. They just there because they just want to sing.
Wow. Let's keep going. Number four says this. Again, we're talking about five things every small to mid-sized church struggles with. Number four says this. Tradition has more pull than vision. See, it was a method to my madness. That's why I wanted him to read the first three.
Wow.
Tradition has more pull than vision. He says, this is not just about traditional churches. It's true about church. It's true of church plants, too. He says, the past has a nostalgia to it that the future never does. He says, even this recent past, he says, remember how great the church felt when it was smaller, more intimate, and met in the living room, the school, or the old facility. The challenge for the leader is to cast a vision that is clear enough and compelling enough to pull people from familiar past into brighter future.
Wow.
Can I talk about it for a second?
Please do.
The title of number four says it all. Tradition has more pull than vision. There are so many churches right now that are so stuck on tradition that any vision that's cast that looks different than what they were used to gets knocked down immediately or gets absolutely no support.
Wow.
And when you have a leader in place who, like you just mentioned earlier, is somewhat timid or afraid to make sure that the vision that God gave him is going forward, that vision ceases to exist. And before you know it, you are in a repeat cycle. You are a hamster in the wheel, just running around over and over again, going nowhere fast.
Wow.
So we need to make sure that whatever vision God gave us, that we're constantly sowing that thing in, that we're for lack of better words, beating them over the head with it every chance you get. It's called vision casting.
Yeah.
You have to constantly remind them,
yeah,
this is where we're going. This is where we're going, especially when you know that they are, when you've learned that they're not good with instruction or direction.
Ooh, boy, boy, boy.
So it's just like, watch this. If you take a road trip and you let a person drive who is unfamiliar with reading maps.
Wow.
So now you as the map reader constantly has to do what? You're the person with the direction and the instruction. You have to constantly say, hey, when we get up to the next one, you're making a left. Hey,
wow,
we're about 5 miles from that left.
Wow.
Hey, just like your GPS.
Wow.
In about 2 miles, you'll be making a left turn.
Wow.
That GPS comes on again.
Yeah.
In about 1 mile, you're making a left turn. In about a half a mile, you'll be making a left turn.
Yeah.
And then when you get about that, left turn, please.
Right.
So you constantly have to be reminded, especially when you're going somewhere that you're unfamiliar with. And what happens is you get so used to hearing it, and in some cases so sick of hearing it, it becomes natural to you. And you start to, like, now it's like, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. Hey, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what the pastor expects. This is what he expects. He expects us to start on time.
Wow.
He expects us to get up and pray for 2 minutes. He expects us not to make our prayers personal, but there's to be a congregational prayer.
Wow.
He expects us to start and stop on time. He expects these things from us. He expects excellence. And when you constantly preach and teach and show excellence, eventually you will get excellence. But when you preach and teach mediocrity, and mediocrity becomes the acceptable function, then you cannot be surprised when you look around and all you see are mediocre happenings.
Wow. Wow. You know, also I want
to
make mention of this.
Yes.
Because he was saying that, you know, that past excitement you had.
Past.
Before.
Yep.
You need to find something to be compelling.
Yes.
To the future.
Yes.
Present and future.
Yes.
What happens is sometimes we as pastors can be selfish.
Uh-huh.
If we want to do our own thing,
mm-hmm,
but not knowing that there were some things that happened in the past,
mm-hmm,
in traditional lives that really gave a morale to the people.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things, all right, there's certain events that we do and have at our church that you see the people get more excited for than others.
Yep. Yeah.
You got to find what it is that you need to bring to the forefront to keep that morale going in casting vision.
Especially if you're going to take something away.
Yes.
Especially if you're taking something away that seemed popular.
Yes.
So you first, and the first thing to do is you educate them on what it is they're doing, first of all. So first of all, let's check to see, okay, I understand that y'all been doing this program for 20 years, but let's find this out. First of all, is this program about glorifying God?
Wow.
Because every church program ought to be about God getting some glory.
That's right.
Anything you host in your church, especially if it's in your sanctuary, should be about giving God some glory.
But my problem, don't shut it down if you don't give good reason.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
See, what happens, we do aggressive takeover. We want to shut something down.
The kingdom of God is taken by force. You know that's what that is.
We want to shut things down.
Yeah.
That we feel it don't matter, but what don't matter to us can mean a lot to others.
That's true. That's very true.
And if you're not given no sound doctrine
on why
this is not being fulfilling to the kingdom of God.
That's true. That's
because
true.
Truth of the matter, we do so many things over and over each year and raise the same amount of money. Is that of God?
Mm.
That's not being fruitful. That's not multiplying.
Yeah.
You know, we do stuff that is just totally against God, man. And then when it don't happen, oh, it's because y'all didn't put y'all all into it.
Well, wow. Yeah. Or as a leader, you have to take a look in the mirror and say, maybe it was poorly planned.
Man in the mirror.
Maybe it was poorly planned. Let's keep going, y'all. Last one. We're talking about, once again, 5 things every small to mid-sized church struggles with. Number 5, he says, the natural desire to do more, not less. He says, as you grow, you will be tempted to do more. Every time there are more people, money, resources, the pressure will be strong to add programming and complexity to your organization. He says, resist that. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. He says, often the key to reaching more is doing less. By doing a few things well and creating steps, not programs, you will help more people grow faster than almost any other way. He says, the two books that helped me see this more than any other resource are by Andy Stanley and Lane Jones and Reggie Joyner's Seven Practices of an Effective Ministry. I actually have that book. Really good. Seven Practices of an Effective Ministry. And then he says, and Tom Rainer and Eric Geiger's book, Simple Church. These two books helped our team resist the pressure to do more simply because we could. Like he says here, complexity is often the enemy of progress. What tensions do you face or have you faced in small to mid-sized churches? Wow.
Wow.
That's good. I mean, you are right, and I myself – when you're thinking ahead to things that we can do instantly, I remember I preached a sermon one time, and one of the lines I used was, I don't have $100 dreams. I have $1 million dreams. I don't think small.
That's
but
right.
The thing also says you have to be smart. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. So just because you have a surplus does not mean you should run through the surplus just because you have it.
Wow. You know what this thought made me think about?
What's that?
How a church try to build a new church?
Yeah, before it's time.
Before it's time?
Yeah.
Because they feel like it's packed out.
Yep.
Their service is packed out.
Yep.
They don't have enough spacing.
Yep.
And they really didn't go through a full dress rehearsal.
Yep.
And what I mean, they didn't do all the things at the small place where they're trying to do at a bigger place.
Yep.
So what happens, because they're not familiar themselves with certain aspect of ministry, they tend to try to do something new and it failed.
Yeah.
And then now you want to put the blame on the people for not giving. I've seen this happen how when I was at Renewance, the roof was messed up on in the sanctuary. So we was having church in the fellowship hall area. And when I tell you we was having the best church in the world, it was the best church in the world. The people was giving. The people was worshiping God. I mean, it was just fabulous. But then moment we moved back into the sanctuary, then we started, Lord have mercy, going back to dull services. People wasn't given. It's like what we missed. Did we try to move in too fast? Did we try to move? Did we try to, was we out of the will of God? A lot of times I've seen this. Most people struggle because they are out of the will of God. If God, Jesus said, upon this rock, I build my church.
Yeah.
Listen, sometimes your church don't need to be rebuilt. Sometimes it just needs to be tightened up.
Revamped. Yeah.
Restored.
Revitalized.
I mean, even in our life, sometimes we want so much new stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes your cable's just a little loose.
That's true.
And you need to tighten your cables.
That's it.
If your cable's loose on your battery, the chance of it is starting every time is slim to none.
Yeah.
But once you know you got the cables tightened on the battery, then it's going to do what
That's
it
good.
Needs to do because it connects.
That's good.
And so we're not connecting in the way that we need to connect to God. And so when we step out in the deep, a lot of times we drown because we forget we knew how to swim. And so why you forget you know how to swim, that's because you let the water get above your head.
Okay.
You didn't have to sink.
Yeah.
You didn't have to drown. Truth of the matter, swimming in 5 feet is no different than swimming in 12 feet.
Yeah, once you're
if
underwater.
If you know how to swim.
That's good. Man, I think it's so one of the things he says every time there are more people, money, and resources, it's like you said, we actually did an article on that, when you should build. I think that was the article, when to expand. And that was one of the things they talked about. Don't automatically go build a church until first you've tried breaking up the services.
Wow.
Like So if you only got one service and it's packed, maybe you should try expanding the services.
There you go.
And then if you go to two services and then you go to three services and all three of those services are packed.
Yeah.
You know, but then here is the problem, though, because even then, that first service, it might be packed, but you got a 200 seat facility, but you got 250 people who show up.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you go buy a 1,000 seat facility. You got a problem.
You got a major problem.
You got a major problem.
Man, you're going to get some more chairs.
Yeah, you go.
Go get your overflow room. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Make people force you to build.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, yeah. Let's make
people force you to build.
It's like when them clothes get tight. When them seams start stretching.
Skin tight.
Yeah, when them seams start stretching and them buttons start popping. That's when you know, okay, I might need another size up. But first you need to see, well, you know what, let's see if we can lose a little weight first.
There you go.
Before we go buy a brand new wardrobe.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep.
And don't go buy the new wardrobe when you ain't prepared to control the weight. So you lose all that weight, and then you want to go buy a new wardrobe, but you ain't changed your eating habits. You just diet as you can fit something.
You're going somewhere with that. Okay. He was going somewhere.
Yeah.
I can see that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you going, you know, there's a difference than, you know, like women like to do this for weddings. They know they got to be in a wedding, so they go on these crash diets to fit that dress.
Yeah.
And then when the wedding is over,
good.
But see, you get happy when you see that little weight you lost.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you go buy a new wardrobe. And then your friends, because they're not real friends, they ain't going to tell you it's too little or too tight.
Right.
They just waiting on you to get to the point where, ooh, she ain't going to be able to fit that little while. I get it. Man, she ain't going to be able to fit that in a little while. I get it. Oh, my God, man. Look, this has been hilarious, man. This is a good article, though.
This
has been
a really
good article, man. I hope y'all are able to get something out of this. This has been an amazing article, man. Five things every small church to mid-sized church struggles with. This has been good. Man, what you got going on this week? I know tonight we're going to, again, we'll be out at Maine Baptist Church.
In Aurora.
In Aurora, y'all. Maine Baptist Church in Aurora. Again, that's going to be at 814 East Galena Boulevard, Aurora, Illinois. It's the Fall Revival, Love Alive, Loving Us Back to Life in Christ. Pastor Julian Spencer, Dr. Julian Spencer is the pastor of Maine Baptist Church, and the revivalist will be one of the only Pastor Elliot T. Ivy.
That man can preach, y'all.
The church, man, brother got on a nice suit, too, on that picture.
Hey, that man got some lungs on him. That's the president.
Trying to see how I want to show up tonight. I might have to get clean.
I'm wearing what I got on.
Okay. The Church of Restoration, Pleasant Man, New Beginnings, Missionary Baptist Church, Oakland, California. Again, at 7 p.m. tonight, y'all, at Maine Baptist Church, 814 East Galena Boulevard, Aurora, Illinois. Meet us there. Pastor, can you pray us out?
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, I thank you and I honor you once again, God, for all that you have done. Father, we pray even for revival tonight, God, that you touch Pastor Spencer, Pastor Ivy, God, that he declare a word in the house, that it be manifested in the hearts and minds of your people, God. God, I don't want to be personal, but God, I pray for this cold sinus.
Yes.
To be removed out of my life, God.
Absolutely.
Give me a comfortability in you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the covenant with my brother Dana. I thank you for the spirit that you're giving him, God. Even our listeners, God, thank you for their longevity and their faithfulness, God.
Mm-hmm.
We pray for a 30-60-100-fold return blessing on their life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, it's been a wonderful show, man. We thank you guys for listening on Blog Talk. Again, we apologize for the technical difficulties. There's always some. Those of you who watch on Facebook Live, we appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much for your comments. Those of you who watching OU Stream, we love y'all. Thank y'all so much for watching. You all have been great. Man, look, we got to get out of here. Again, we will be in the road tonight. If y'all able to come out, I know it's a Monday. I know some of y'all tired, and I'm thinking about that drive now. But anyway, it's going to be all right. We will see y'all out there tonight if you decide to show up. Again, that's 814 East Galena Boulevard, Aurora, Illinois, Maine Baptist Church, 7 o'clock. And if you're driving out and you got to be in this neighborhood, all these different places, keep your head on the swivel. Y'all stay blessed, man. We are
Househead
of here. And guess what? They'll get over it, because I'm going to leave y'all with some more of this trap. I ain't scared of nobody. I ain't scared of you. We out of here, y'all. Peace. Oh,
but I don't want your folks to turn me over to the hands of the law. I guess they think that I'm not good enough for you. I can tell the way they act and their attitudes as the tears roll from my eyes.